Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Hi, are you recording? Please record for me. Thank
Please
you.
Please record.
Record
we
now.
We are recording in three,
message.
Two, one.
Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. This is getting creepy.
It is getting weird, but I like our voices too. It like, feels like maybe we should try this out sometime.
Maybe we should forget our life and
just
stay
become
government.
Robots.
Yeah, become robots.
Beep boop beep 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 boop.
Got sweet robot dances. Sweet robot noises.
Yeah,
I eat gears and people food.
Oil.
Yeah, I don't know. What do people eat?
I
should know as a people.
You did just eat a whole bunch of cupcakes not too long ago.
Yeah, we ate cupcakes this morning. DNR Cupcake Wars.
Yeah.
Dawn, myself, and our coworker Aaron were all judges.
So awesome.
Super sugared
Super
up.
Super jealous, though.
Yeah. Took some pictures. They're beautiful. Cupcakes are beautiful and delicious.
Great job.
Thanks.
I meant to the DNR volunteers.
Okay.
Great job judging, though.
Thank you.
I guess that's
the thanks I needed and expected in my life. Give me praise. Give me all the praise.
Speaking of praise, I think you're doing great with these podcasts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Back to the news.
Back to the news. Beep, boop, beep. Welcome, everybody, to Season 3, Episode 35 of Podcasts for Good, Washington State Combined Fund Drive's only podcast available.
Woo, woo!
we're getting
weird.
Okay, my name is Heather Lucas. This is going to get weirder, I'm sure of it, crying out loud. I am the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive, and I am joined today by...
Jerrica Ferguson. I handle marketing and development for the Combined Fund Drive statewide. I felt necessary to say that.
So it's getting weirder. I love it.
Yes.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going really well. I'm actually really hungry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't wait to get out of here.
Am actually starving and I need lunch.
Okay.
So
wrap it up.
What I'm telling you is, why didn't you bring the sacks?
I didn't think to bring
you
snacks.
You know about my hanker issue.
I do.
It's a real problem.
Well, you know, if you want some cupcake tastes, there are some in the kitchen.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, load up on sugar.
Load up.
I don't know.
I feel like all of a sudden I just want to be like a background to like a hip-hop song where I'm just like, every time you say something, I just want to do the call out for it.
A hype person. So you're my hype person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like every time you say something, I just want to hype you up.
Cupcakes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what
I like.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Also, my voice is very scratchy.
Yeah, you got a scratchy voice.
I've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
What's new?
Surprise.
Yeah.
So, not exactly speaking of talking, but speaking of talking, we are talking today to the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County about STEM programs, STEM technology.
Nice.
I interviewed Chris Woods, the CEO, and Carla Spacarotelli, the communications associate. We talked about their club, the clubs they've got going on through Thurston County, and the things they do for STEM technology that are incredible and going to keep kids really ahead of the curve.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. So STEM technology, it's one of those things that... You know, when I was in high school, nobody called it STEM technology. I don't think they really started calling it STEM for, like, what, until, like, 2008?
Yeah, maybe a little later. Yeah, this is about the time when I feel like, because I graduated in 2009.
Okay.
And I really never heard that term quite yet. Like,
people
kind of used it, but it wasn't so directed with those, like, categories of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, you like science, math. Like, they didn't really call it, like, engineering technology, right? It was, like, more like computer.
Yeah.
Or, like, drafting.
Yeah, and if you did anything that was involving STEM, yeah. it was like, okay, well, you're in the science club or the yeah. math club.
But I definitely started hearing it once I went to college, though. Yeah. It was like, oh, that's the STEM program. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely was taking off about 08, 09, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So it is something that has definitely up and come throughout the years. But I think, too, it's been pushed a little more specific for girls and kids yeah. who are minorities as mm-hmm. well as mm-hmm. And like kind of I don't know if like boys have been left out of this so much, but
I don't think so. I yeah. think that the reason that there's been a push towards women getting into STEM is because they see that there is a lack of women in science,
like currently as
and so yeah. like I think what's been really neat for me is seeing a lot more on social media about people really like bolstering women in science and how much impact we've really made, that we were really in the shadows.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been really neat to see more STEM programs being more direct towards women to try mm-hmm. and get them up, because women haven't been as present, and that might not be the right word, because women have always been present in science but haven't maybe gotten the credit
or maybe not as welcome.
Maybe not as much like acceptance or praise, I guess you could yeah. say, to where we have been seen. And I think it's really great to have young women be able to look towards other women in these programs and in science and engineering. I mean, even in our own office, we're showcasing the engineer for the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. I yeah. mean, I don't think very many people know. I didn't know until looking at the exhibit that a woman was the engineer behind that mission.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's really awesome that we are doing that. I don't think that these programs are excluding boys and men and things like that. I just think that they're trying to make an emphasis to make it equal
mm-hmm.
For both to be able to participate in a group that maybe has lacked women in the
yeah.
past.
Yeah, and there are definitely moments of history that I feel like they're getting a little bit more of time in the sun now
mm-hmm.
instead of when yeah. things happen. Like, I know Buzz Aldrin, famous astronaut, right? He didn't rely on any of the computer calculations. He yeah. relied on the calculations of one particular woman
yeah.
who worked at NASA, yeah. who was always right.
Right, but what's crazy is, like, I don't remember hearing one story of her no. growing up, and so that's why
I don't even know her name off the top
right,
of my head.
Right, but what's been really cool is I know I've been seeing her picture
mm-hmm.
going around social media, yeah. so, like, you know, technology for good there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think that's what's really neat, though, is, like, these women's names are being more out there, and we'll you know, the more they're repeated and the more that we show that
they're talking about their stories.
Yeah, I think it's just a really great opportunity for everybody to learn, you know, the impact that women make in our history.
Yeah.
And I think STEM is a really great place to start.
Yeah, and I do think that, yeah, there's been underrepresentation, but also you don't think that there's, like, too much of a different perspective when it comes to, say, science or math, right? Like, it is these are the facts, okay? But if you don't have the perspective of someone who is just a little different, a little on the outside, a little on the fringes, then you might not ask questions mm-hmm. to get answers
mm-hmm.
or to progress.
Well, if you don't see somebody that represents you in anything, right, then mm-hmm. it's hard to see yourself as the trailblazer.
Yeah.
Even though we need more, I think, like, seeing for myself, seeing other women,
yeah.
I can look at towards them as mentors, and I can look towards them as saying, like, wow, they really blazed the path for me
mm-hmm.
To be able to make my own stamp. And I think it's been really great to see more women leaders stand up and start supporting other women, particularly in STEM.
Absolutely. So, question of the podcast, Jerrica Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics,
mm-hmm.
regardless of we're talking any grade here,
yeah.
which of these was your favorite in school?
Engineering, because I like to build.
Yeah.
That was, like, a big thing. I remember I took, like, a fourth grade, like, test, like, what are you going to be like when you
yeah.
grow up in third grade or whatever, and I remember mine kept being, like, architecture and, like, engineering.
Okay.
And then my dad, because he was really into drafting, because that's uh-huh. what he did. And so always growing up, we just always have, like, floor plans of things. So I was the kid that, like, when you had to build, like, a blueprint of your, like, mansion home or whatever,
sure.
like, you're you know, wanting the thing, my dad and I would, like, map out way too detailed for a fourth, like, fifth
sure,
grade class.
Sure.
I mean, I was also the kid that was, like, building the highest tower out of straws. But that's because in my head, though, what's funny is even though I was using math and using these things, in my head I was just building blocks, right?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I loved being able to just, like, be hands-on. So for me, it was definitely engineering.
Nice.
What about yourself?
So I've always loved math. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. It is, as Mean Girls says, a beautiful language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in every language.
I mean, I've seen your Excel sheets.
Yeah.
It is a language of its own, that's for sure, of all the math that you do on
uh-huh.
those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those formulas are like a beautiful mind.
Yes, they are a little beautiful mind there. But if I had more opportunities with technology and engineering in school, I would have definitely leaned yeah. into it more. However, science was something, like we talked about, representation and like being acceptance. I always felt like science was one of those things that I was not welcome to.
Yeah, interesting.
I had teachers who were just not really welcoming or, you know, wanting to like come down a level or two to say someone who is new to science or like a specific science, like biology,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I didn't feel like my teachers were ever
yeah.
interested in being like, okay, here, this yeah. is where you start, and this is what you do, and now yeah. you're part of the group.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that.
Right. No, it's interesting.
But I do love science.
Right. Well, I think that science is awesome. I think that it's interesting to, like, hear that, and I think a lot of times it's because you're right. It's, like, it's not even necessarily like coming down mm-hmm. to a level, right? It's really, like, pushing people up.
Yeah.
It really, the goal it really is like,
pull me up to your
pull
level.
You up, like, you know, first you want to get kids involved with, like, whether it's, you know, making a volcano or whether mm-hmm. it's like making ice cream in the classroom,
yeah,
like these fun things, but then really showing how to apply
yeah.
why this is important, and then like how you can really use these things every day. And like, you know, if you are a lover of animals mm-hmm. or plant life or things like that, and talking about biology, I think like, you know, whether it's teachers or even your own parents or organizations that mm-hmm. help with whether it's STEM or the arts and things like that, is that you can find beauty in all of these things,
yeah.
but you just need to, like, inform the child.
Yes.
Like, why, show importance, but also the fun part of it,
yeah.
right? Because it is so unique, and, like, there's so many still mysteries out in our world mm-hmm. that, like, you can discover.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, showing it as, like, you can yourself discover new things by using what has already been created or,
yeah.
or shown. You yourself can be kind of like this Lewis and Clark figure
yeah,
in a way,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and I always, like, I feel like I approach whenever I do policy for CFD stuff, like, I approach writing out the policy a little bit like you would approach a thesis for some kind of scientific
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've got certain elements that mirror scientific theories, but...
Yeah.
I was always like, I'm not allowed to do that, or they don't like me,
yeah.
and I'm not part of it.
Yeah.
So I never really applied myself. I just stayed away from it, even
yeah.
though I love astronomy. I love dinosaurs. Like, show me a dinosaur, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, like, I do love history also in that way, too. Like, history can be very scientific in a
mm-hmm.
lot of different
mm-hmm.
ways, but... was never, yeah. you know, was never a Heather Club.
Well, I think the womp, thing is
womp.
Like what you said, though, is like, because I know that you're an artistic person, is, you know, you use STEM in the arts.
Yeah,
and
you
the
do.
Arts use STEM. And I think, you know, being able to start capturing how much more there are really, like, there's really a synergy
mm-hmm.
between these. And I think there's a lot of ideas that, like, STEM is opposite of the arts and arts is opposite of STEM. It's
yeah,
really
it's
not,
not
true.
True.
There, you have to have both,
yes.
right? And I think that's what's really cool is, like, places like Worlds and Girls Club really showcase young people how to use STEM, but also use their creativity as a kid
yeah.
to be able to, you know, bring those two sides together.
Yeah. So speaking of the Boys and Girls Club, we are going to kick it into the interview. Boys and Girls Club of Thurston, the CEO, Chris Woods, and the Communications Associate, Carlos Facaratelli. Here's that interview. I'm here with Chris Woods, the CEO, and Carlos Facaratelli, Communications Associate with the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So can you give us a little history about Boys and Girls Club of Thurston and what it is you do for the community?
Sure. Well, the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County started in about 2001 with the Tumwater Club, and really was an idea of a few people in the community to start a club here in Thurston County. And the club started with about 45 youth.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're now serving nearly 3,000 youth in six clubs. We have clubs in Tumwater, Olympia, Lacey, Yelm is our newest one, and then Tenino and Rochester. And we have about 60 staff and nearly 100 volunteers. And we're continuing to grow. And we're coming up on our 20th anniversary here next year. And so looking for ways that we can celebrate the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County. And really the organization is founded on kind of three pillars. It's academic success, good character and citizenship, and healthy lifestyles. Mm-hmm. And all the programs revolve around those three pillars. I guess a little more background is we've got a board of 20 members.
Okay.
A couple of those members have been around since the beginning of the organization, and then many new members. And this is a very active and engaged board, very involved in helping us secure funding and resources in the community to sustain our programming, but also helping us to reach new donors so that we can continue to grow, because we currently have waiting lists at nearly all of our clubs, and so we're always looking for ways that we can grow and sustain that growth in the community.
So the Yum Club, is it open yet, or it's coming?
It is open.
Okay.
It opened last Wednesday,
first
day of school, and we're really excited about that. That's been a great partnership with not only the school district, but the city of Yelm. Mm-hmm. The city of Yelm approved us using their old city hall building.
Oh, nice.
And so we've been able to convert that to a club, and we're looking to serve about 100 youth at that club. And it's just been a great effort. We worked with a committee largely made up of community members.
Okay.
We had a board member from the school district. We had a city council member and other community members helping us to raise funds to mm-hmm. get the doors open, and a very successful campaign. And we're very excited about the Yelm Club being open, and we anticipate that growing pretty quickly, and working with that community to find other ways we can expand and maybe offer spots to other youth in the community.
Very nice. So this podcast is focusing on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. What does the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston do to support STEM learning in your programs?
Well, last couple of years, there's been a partnership. It's called Science Exploration Series, and it's a partnership between the Boys and Girls Clubs of Thurston County and St. Martin's University. Club members get to learn math, biology, chemistry, engineering, physics, and computer science through hands-on experiential lessons taught by college students and their professors.
Nice.
It's a great opportunity for some of our youth to go on campus of a college and see what it might be like to attend a college. And really the idea, not just to expose them to STEM opportunities, but also expose them to the idea of college.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of our youth, that's something that's very new and very different for them. It may be something that they haven't thought about.
Sure.
And so kind of a partnership that allows for the science aspect of it, but also for future planning for whether it's a career or college.
Nice. That's really cool. So kids get that kind of hands-on experience and ask somebody who's doing the work right now.
Yeah.
So what are the age ranges your club accepts? Is it like 5 to 18, or is there a different range?
Yeah. It's school age.
Okay.
Kindergarten to seniors in high school.
Okay.
And we serve that age at all of our clubs.
Okay. So
we also have a dedicated space for teen members, because you can imagine, you know, the older kids and younger. So we do, at several of our clubs, have dedicated teen centers that we call the club. And their program is obviously, their programming is a little bit more structured to, you know, issues that are really important to teens.
Sure, yeah. So, like, I was going to ask about the types of curriculums or programs, because, of course, I mean, you've got these different ages of kids, elementary, middle school, junior high school. So are there different STEM activities or programs that you're focusing on with these kids? Can you speak about that?
From what I've seen when I've been at the club is, yeah, it's definitely age-specific.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a science experiment, the younger members are going to have, you know, an age-appropriate way that they're going to delve into that topic versus, say, maybe the teens might sure. be more hands-on or outside and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we make sure that, like, kids of all ages, that it's developmentally appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a difficult thing to, like, find the programming and, the curriculum to support these kids?
It would be interesting to just describe a day when, you know, kids come in and how they have their menu they kind of can choose from. That might be really helpful.
Yeah, and I think the way our clubs have been able to meet that age-specific mm-hmm. need is by grouping our students in grade levels, and then within our clubs, the students are rotating from station to station, whether it's, the tutoring, whether it's students who are receiving additional work in the mm-hmm. area of homework where families can sign their children up for that, whether it's activities on healthy lifestyles. The staff really try to tailor the lessons to the age of the students. And like Carla was saying, ideally we like to have our kindergartners together uh-huh. because they're very unique.
Yeah,
and their
yeah.
needs are very unique. And then primary grades, uh-huh. First, second grade, and then third through fifth.
Okay.
And then our middle schoolers are also another unique group. And ideally, we love to have in a teen center the ability to have a place for our middle school students and for our high school.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, high schoolers don't always want to hang out with middle schoolers.
Huh. That's surprising.
So that's kind of the ideal scenario
yeah.
in our clubs. But really, the facility uh-huh. will determine whether or not we're able to provide those specific spaces for each group.
Sure.
But also, there's a lot of opportunity for mentorship
okay.
for our teens to help and volunteer with the younger children and mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, we have about 25% of our staff are former club kids.
Okay.
So not only do they go through our system as club kids, then many of them become junior staff
uh-huh.
and become part or full-time staff as well. So many of them stay with us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it really did a lot for them as a kid, mm-hmm. I could totally see, pay it forward.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, there's some powerful stories among our staff of how it just changed their lives, and they've just dedicated their careers to be youth development professionals, and I think it's remarkable.
Yeah. So there was a report published a year ago in the Seattle Times regarding Washington State test scores in English and math. They said English scores improved a little, but only 58% of third graders and 41% of 10th graders were meeting state standards in math. So when a kid comes to the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County who's struggling with math, and they work with your organization and volunteers to improve math skills, do you also see other things like confidence or classroom participation improve as well?
Absolutely. One of our goals is to really be an extension of what's going on during the school day.
Okay.
Having come from public education myself for many years, I know the limits and the constraints that schools have as mm-hmm. far as the amount of time that they have with children, the number of students they have in a classroom.
Yeah.
We have the ability to break that down into smaller groups and even sometimes one-on-one
yeah.
help in our tutoring centers. And also, if families choose to sign their children up for a G3 program, which stands for Get Good Grades. And with that is an extended focus on academics. And the nice thing about that is we also have an agreement with the school districts where we can share information about those students that their families have agreed to that sharing of information. So we can take a look at their grades. We can see where they're struggling, see where they need more help.
Okay.
We can focus the attention in those areas. And, some of the data that we've found in over the years with our club kids is 80% of our teens have plans for post-secondary education.
Okay.
Those are our 13 to 18 year olds, and 93% of our members expect to graduate from high school, and 79% expect to go to college. And then in addition to that, as Carla was saying earlier about the impact that the club has on the kids, 67% of our alumni report that the club saved their life.
Yeah.
And so not just in the area of education,
mm-hmm.
but as we talked about, this idea of good character and citizenship. It's not just about coming to club and having fun.
Yeah.
It's very structured and organized, and obviously the academic piece is very important to us because we want our youth to be successful in school as well. So that partnership is something we want to continue to work on. We want to be an extension of the school, mm-hmm. and we want to help our schools in any way we can.
Yeah, so you get to see if a child is having a hard time in math, and then you can focus more on that instead of the places where they're doing well during their time at the club.
Exactly.
I'd love to also add that when in the nonprofit world, we're always looking at statistics.
Sure.
Like, what? Like those great statistics, and it's wonderful to have those. But what's even more powerful in my experience is to hear staff talk about the things that aren't measurable, like a child growing in their ability. They're not so stressed when they sit down.
Okay.
They are learning the study skills. They're learning skills like, I'm going to take a 5-minute break and come back. And those aren't things that we can measure, but
that's
they are
true,
just like these really powerful, heartwarming stories of kids like learning how to deal with everything they have to deal with in their lives when it comes to their grades.
Like, yeah.
You know, so can you imagine being in school all day and then coming to the club and it's like, you know, we do want to help you with your homework. We do want to, and to create an environment where they still want to study at 3:30 is really, I think that's really remarkable. And it's all those things that, you know, they're handling their emotions and those types of things. You can't measure those, but those are the stories that you're like, okay, we're on to something.
Yeah, and that's not something good. I think people talk so much about either. It's like
they want to hear those statistics, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really good stuff happening, like on a day-to-day level.
Nice. So like you had mentioned, academic success is one of the pillars and a goal for your organization. I was looking online and saw the 2018 impact report, and it said that 22% of young people in Thurston County fail to graduate from high school on time. So what steps do you think could be taken to increase graduation rates in our area?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think, again, going back to those partnerships with the school districts, I think one of the areas that we can really improve is those relationships with each of the currently 6 school districts that we serve.
Uh-huh.
And so having specific conversations around what are the needs in that district, and the needs in each district are unique.
Sure.
However, we are seeing some things that are common across all districts, and unfortunately we're seeing a lot of anxiety, we're seeing a lot of stress, we're seeing mental health concerns and issues, and we know that it's tough to provide enough support and staffing to help the unique needs of each child. So one of the things we're doing is trying to provide a safe environment. And like Carla was talking about, those things that you can't measure, such as the relationships our staff members build with the youth,
mm-hmm.
and how they provide a safe place for our youth. And so the first and foremost thing we want to do is provide a safe place for youth where when they come, they feel comfortable, they feel like they can talk to anybody there, they feel like they're valued, they're respected. We think that once they feel like the club is kind of a home away from home,
yeah,
then we believe we can have a really big impact in many areas, not just mental health, but mm-hmm. the academic success piece. And then I think more importantly, as we talk specifically about our teens and academic success, really having those conversations with them about what's next.
Okay.
Where do they see themselves after high school? And many of our teens have no idea.
Yeah.
Many of our teens go day to day, and they don't see beyond tomorrow. And so for us, having those conversations about what might be possible,
mm-hmm.
and this STEM program that we're doing with St. Martin's is just one way that we expose our youth to other opportunities. Because for some, they don't see opportunities outside of their immediate school. And
sure.
So for us, just exposing them to other opportunities and having conversations with them about what's possible. And then I think the last thing is letting them know that we believe in them,
mm-hmm.
and that we're here to support them, and we're going to do everything we can to help them be successful. And we're not just about kindergarten through 12th grade.
Yeah.
You know, we care very much about what's next. And so setting our youth up for success and doing that in partnership with our school districts is a huge goal of ours, and so we pay close attention to what the challenges are in each district. But we also have a community advisory council, which is made up of members from every school district, also other youth organizations, juvenile court, other professionals in the community around youth issues, and we meet 4 to 6 times a year, specifically to talk about what are some of the common themes we're seeing across all districts. And really right now, the ones that we're hearing about are the social, emotional, and mental health needs. And so our goal is to say, what can we do at our clubs to help remedy that situation, and how can we help support the schools in that area?
And in the future, do you think there would be an expansion to work with organizations that deal with mental health, especially regarding youth?
Absolutely. It's got to be kind of this community schools model, because we are limited in resources within our program, so is the school district. But I think as a community, there are lots of other organizations that we can bring in together with us to meet those needs. And I see school districts starting to reach out because they know that their resources are limited, and and so are ours. And we just recently, in this past year, were able to hire a success coach in our organization specifically to help those youth with social, emotional, and mental health needs. And she travels from club to club and has a caseload of youth that she meets with. And her goal really is to help them to be successful, either doing some small group work or one-on-one in collaboration with the schools and the families. And we know we could hire many, many more success coaches and still not be meeting the needs. So absolutely, we're going to have to find ways as a community to address these issues and not just at the Boys and Girls Clubs.
I'd like to add also, you know, we're really lucky that we're able to support this person, the position that he just described. But, you know, the other ways that we try to do that is we are so proud of our staff, our youth development. They are youth development professionals. And one of the ways that we're equipping them also is during regular trainings, ongoing trainings. They train monthly, and then they train in a more extensive period of time, a couple times a year, and we've offered mental health first aid to those to our staff. And I think that's another way that we're just, we have to kind of be on the cusp, but we have to try to stay ahead of you know, what kids are bringing to the club too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to continue to grow as well, making sure you address the needs and the trends in the community and the organization population you serve.
And I've also noticed or heard, we know that more grant funding is becoming available to this topic, like mental health issues for youth, where, you know, there are trends in what, you know, STEM has been really popular, still a really strong category of funding out there for nonprofits like ours. But I have noticed and heard more and more about mental health, and they're just anticipating, how do we really, like, kind of wrap around, provide wraparound services to kids so that, you know, we're catching them everywhere we can to build them up.
So since you're working with kids who are about to exit high school and begin college careers, can you talk a little bit about programs or initiatives that are helping these students move on to that phase so that they can achieve more with their education?
Yeah, a couple of the programs, Keystone and Torch Club and Youth of the Year, these are all programs designed to help our teens find ways to do community service, to volunteer, but also to develop their own skills to become leaders in the community. And these are programs within our programs, and they're student-led with adult advisors, much like clubs might be at the high school level. And oftentimes it's deciding what is the need within our club, what are the needs that we're seeing at each club, and then developing programs or tapping into programs that already exist within Boys and Girls Club of America. And a lot of times it's finding the right staff member to help advise that club. But another one is Smart Girls. That's another program that we've used within teen club.
Well, and also junior staff. So mm-hmm. our junior staff program is designed to identify highly motivated teens who okay. are really interested in maybe working with young kids. They're the kids who are already like lending a hand to the youngers and helping mm-hmm. out. And there is a program they have designed called Junior Staff, in which they kind of coach kids through their first job.
Okay.
And so we have the Junior Staff program, and they do things like a resume. They go through an interview.
Wow.
They are given short-term like assignments. They give feedback with the staff, and
okay.
it kind of allows them to kind of have a first-time job experience in a really safe place. Again,
yeah.
you're around mentors, people who know you. They're trying to kind of coach you on, like, this is the way it is in the real world. And,
sure.
And as Chris said earlier in the podcast, those kids often will apply for those part-time jobs. So they might be in high school, and they'll apply for the part-time job and maybe come back during college or,
yeah.
you know, that sort of thing. So I think just prepping them for the real world. The other thing is just getting them talking about what their options are. College
sure.
isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
And so what is your post-high school plan?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we help you, you know, kind of move in that direction?
So. Yeah. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Boys and Girls Club of Thurston County. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah.
Keep the lights on.
Absolutely. individual donors, corporate donors, and grants are what keep us operating
mm-hmm.
on a day-to-day basis. And those dollars go directly to scholarships for our youth. Many of our families can't afford child care, and we don't ever want that to be a barrier for a child to access the Boys and Girls Club. And so a lot of our dollars go directly to scholarships for our youth, obviously for our staff. Our staff are what make our programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then aside from that, obviously we've got to make sure that we've got facilities that are safe. We've
yeah.
got to make sure that we have facilities that are conducive to learning
mm-hmm.
and helping our youth grow. And so really those are the three areas that donations go to is first and foremost the scholarships, and then hiring staff and making sure that our facilities are safe for our 5-year-olds all the way through our 18-year-olds. And we've been very fortunate and very blessed in Thurston County with many who have found that the Boys and Girls Club is a place that they want to donate. But like I said earlier, we're also seeing a waiting list
yeah.
at our clubs, and that need is not going to go away.
Sure.
And we're only limited by the resources that we're able to get for our organization, and limited by the facilities that we have, whether it's a club in a school building
mm-hmm.
or it's a standalone building. Either way, we've got to make sure that, like I said, that it's safe
yeah.
and that it has all the things that our youth need to be successful and to be healthy and to grow, and most importantly, to have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would add that waiting list, it really speaks to the need for an after-school experience, an out-of-school experience, because we are available in the summer, too, that it just... that's enriching and fun and safe, and to me that helps our community, because parents feel better about just knowing that there's an option for their kids. Our clubs are for all kids,
mm-hmm.
and yes, we do really make an effort to make sure that the kids most in need can come and not worry, and their families don't have to worry about funding. But I just think over and over, it really speaks to how our community wants something for our kids in those hours that can be. You know, really challenging for families who have to work.
Yeah.
So.
And your scholarship, is it running from, say, the beginning of a school year to the end of the school year, or does it run through the summer as well?
It's an annual scholarship. And when we say scholarship,
mm-hmm.
So...
it's to get the kids into the building.
And it's we have a annual membership fee of, I should know this.
$30.
Okay.
And then there are monthly activity fees for whatever, if there are other programs and
sure.
that sort of thing. So that is when we say a child has received a scholarship, it's so that they can go for the whole year in there and they don't have to worry about those fees.
Very nice.
So. And we don't charge for our seventh graders and above.
Yes, yeah,
so we want to provide a place for them free of charge, because we also know that can be some of the most challenging time mm-hmm. for youth and for parents.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that there are no barriers in place, and that we want to provide places for our teens to go outside of the school day. And, you know, we have some, many of our youth that come to us as early as, you know, 7 a.m.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. then they're going to school and they're coming back until 6:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And so going back to what I said earlier about it being home away from home, it really is for many of our kids, and we want to make sure that we're providing as many opportunities as we can for families, and that the fees are not a barrier that get in the way of that. And so donations, grants, those all go towards serving more youth.
Yeah. So, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight before we go?
We do have a big event, actually, Friday, September 27th
mm-hmm.
at St. Martin's University and the Worthington Pavilion. We've got our Born to be Wild auction.
Okay.
This is one of really two major events that we do. We do our Foundation for the Future breakfast mm-hmm. in the springtime, and then here in the fall we do our Born to be Wild auction. And these dollars, again, go directly towards meeting the needs of our youth and hiring staff and creating safe facilities for all of them. And we're excited for this event. It's been going for, a number of 17, years. 17 years
nice.
Now.
Years, yeah.
And it's grown every year. It's a lot of fun. But really, we go out and try to find some great items to auction off, whether it's a silent auction or live auction.
Okay.
And people are provided a great dinner and a fun atmosphere. And it's really just a great opportunity for people to invest in our youth in Thurston County.
Very nice.
We are very lucky also to be able to say that nearly 80% of our funding comes from like individual donors. And you know, that we also get grant funding and other things, but that to me speaks to like how 600 people come out to that event.
I mean, yeah.
There's something I really want the community to understand, like how they benefit from having this place that kids can go and just live and be in an environment that just kind of nurtures them. And I think that 78-80% individual donor rate is just, it's really encouraging to me, because I feel like maybe people can really understand that this isn't just some elite after school mm-hmm. program, but it's really for all kids, and especially kids who need us most.
Yeah, that's a great message and a great avenue of being able to continue to support yeah. people in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, Carla, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you. And thank you to all your Combined Fund Drive donors, because without them, our community wouldn't be as strong as it is. So thank you.
And we just appreciate the opportunity to be an option for folks to donate to the organization, and appreciate this opportunity to talk about it.
Great. Thank you so much. Chris and Carla with the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston. That was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Something that they had said that I really liked was how they are trying to identify trends that are happening within Thurston County and then stay ahead of them. So that way they can try to improve and figure out ways to keep kids engaged mm-hmm. and help them for the future.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
That's really awesome.
Like, I kind of feel like not every organization thinks that way.
No.
Whether it's a charity or just a, hey, we're out here making for-profit
yeah.
decisions.
Yeah. I think that's really neat. I mean, I think it's really cool that what the Boys and Girls Club of Thurston is doing. We actually shot a video with them this past year. And I just think they're really hitting the mark, and they really are putting their thumb down in Thurston County and understanding the needs that children need.
Yeah.
Which is unique in that way, just because they actually have the ability and the resources to do that.
Totally. So I wanted to ask you some trivia.
Ooh.
Well, actually, yeah, I guess it is trivia, but they are facts and figures here. So there are some definite searches out there. I was kind of looking for STEM schools, like what the best state for STEM schools was, and I was like, come on, Washington. So there were five states listed on the top 20 best high schools for STEM.
Okay.
Can you name, out of the 50 states we have, can you name one?
California.
Yeah, California was on the list.
Washington?
No.
Dang it.
No.
I was hoping
I thought that you're leading in that.
Okay.
See, was
New York?
No. I know, right?
Texas?
Yes, Texas was on the list.
Connecticut?
Nope.
Let's go with Delaware?
No. You're in the neighborhood.
Dang it. But New Jersey?
New Jersey. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know how many guesses I get here. And then I'm going to say, like, what's other techie? Like, Georgia?
No, but you're close to that neighborhood, too.
Florida?
A little north.
South Carolina?
Further north.
North Carolina?
Further north.
Virginia.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I just should start just doing all, like, Texas Tech, Virginia Tech.
That's why
I was thinking. One more.
And it's on this side of the Mississippi.
Okay, I'm going to go, like, Arizona.
Boom! Look at you. You're really good at this.
There's tech schools in my head.
Yeah. So the number one school listed on the internet, everything is true on the internet, high school 100% graduation rate, it's in New Jersey, High Technology High School is what it's called.
Well, that's in the name.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hope so.
They have 291 enrolled students from 9th to 12th grade at this school, and yeah, 100% graduation
rate.
So, good on you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, good on you.
Great job.
And then
Jersey.
We talked a little bit about like test scores in our state, and our state is faltering a little when it comes to both a little with English. They've improved a little, but our math scores are still faltering.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So 41% of 10th graders are meeting standards in math as of last year, according to OSPI.
Yeah.
So that is not great.
No, but it means that though we do have organizations that are trying to get more focus back.
Yes.
Into mathematics.
Yes, absolutely. So there's room for improvement. So we got some upcoming events. Just announcement again. If for those of you who don't know, our program manager, Philip Kerrigan, has left the building. He's out. So he's now moved on to be an executive director with one of our member charities, Race for Rowan. But if you have something you were working on with Philip, or you needed questions or issues or comments or concerns that he was working with, send them to us. You can send them to our email, cfd@sos.wa.gov, or give us a call at 360-902-4162, and we'll help you take care of whatever issues or concerns or comments or events you got going on. We are done with trainings. Now we're into October, so no more trainings. But if you guys have needs, if you have one-on-one trainings you want to do, we're here, willing to help all the time. And what week is this?
It's First Week to Give. That's what I wanted to do
that
for a long
beautiful.
Time. Yeah, so First Week to Give is happening right now. It's October 1st that you're hearing this podcast. We started September 30th. This promotion runs until October 6th. Get your payroll deductions in today or get your volunteer hour logged. As a reminder, all you have to do is start a new donation by $5 or up a current donation by $5 or just log 1 hour of volunteer time and you will receive a Starbucks gift card thanks to WSECU. And as a reminder, on the 3rd, so on Thursday this week only, if you use our special payroll link, you will be able to receive a second Starbucks card by giving, again, $5 or more. We are very, very excited to work with WSECU again for this First Week to Give promotion. Please give us a call if you have any questions at all. Make sure you get it in before October 6th.
Yes.
Next time you'll hear this podcast, the promotion will be over.
That is true. Yes. No more promotion.
What else is happening this October?
This October is CFD Masquerade Ball. It's the 8th ball.
We're almost out of tickets, people.
Yeah.
So get their general tickets only.
Yep.
Get them,
sold out a long time ago.
Get them today.
Yeah, so that is going to be happening Saturday, October 19th. It's at 7 p.m. It's fancy pants time with lots of good food, lots of drinks, lots of fun activities.
Yeah, big thanks to Little Creek Casino for their food and support for this year.
Yes, absolutely. They are a major, major sponsor. So thank you, Little Creek Casino and Resort. And then the end of the month, right around Halloween
Tasty time,
right before Halloween time. October 29th, the Bite of LNI. It is a major, major, major event happening in the auditorium at the LNI building on Linderson. It's delicious. I highly recommend going, even if you can only be there for like 5 minutes.
It's worth the five bites.
Oh, go.
1 minute
Please
bite.
Please go, because you are going to find food from all over the world at this place. Delicious, delicious, delicious. And it supports awesome charities in our program.
Yep, yep.
So that is it for this week's podcast, talking about STEM. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Take care.